Welcome to the Biz for Good show with your hosts, Bobby Glenn James and Ryan Pilkington. The Biz for Good podcast is a fun and adventurous series that dives into the world of business, nonprofit, and startups, making a difference in the world for good. Get ready for another episode. Hey, cue that sick intro.
For good.
Welcome to the Biz for Good show. I am your host, Bobby Glenn James, along with the Ryan Pilkington. We have an amazing episode today, episode 28. Thank you so much. Let me get this right.
Yes, do, please.
Alexa.
No.
No.
No, Alexi. Alex. Alex. No, no.
Alexis.
Dang it.
Alexis.
Alexis. Oh my gosh, Alexis.
Stage fright.
I'm changing my name to Lex. It's just going to make it easier for everybody.
No, Alexis. It's a beautiful, it is an amazingly beautiful name. And,
Thank you. And you're
awesome for coming on the show. Thank you so much.
Alexis Courtney.
Alexis. Alexis Courtney.
That's why
we
I'm
should
here.
Just let Ryan introduce folks because he has the brain and the connection to be your artist. You connect with those beautiful artist people names and stuff. So,
yes.
So, and he can
Alexis.
Read.
And he can read because, well, where is it? It's little. You changed the font size, Ryan. I was looking for it. Okay.
I'm
Alexis,
sorry.
I will never forget for the next 30 seconds at least.
At least.
Alexis. Okay. Alexis, thank you so much for being on the show, taking this on. We asked her ahead of time. I said, are you sure you know what you're getting into? And she just said,
I'm good.
I'm good with whatever.
Yeah. Let's have a good time.
Awesome. Awesome.
She's ready to roll.
That's
she's
right.
ready to roll. And she's, of course, accepted to be with us during
segments.
Yeah. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you for
keeping
us.
Keep it going.
See, Ryan keeps us on track. He's the one that keeps us focused and connected. And I take us off track. That's
okay.
My job.
Yeah. Makes for an exciting show.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It works. For
it
some
works.
Reason, it just works. How we doing, Sky, out there? I want to test. You say, oh, things are working. Okay, that's good. Awesome.
All right.
After our last episode, we'd like to know that technology is functioning. So
yeah.
Let's give segments to Ryan. And feel free to connect in with these segments and give your 2 cents.
Okay, great.
Actually, it's B4G Studio News. And I don't have that. We'll figure out these buttons later. I can't be three arms right now.
Oh, man. Come on. You do everything,
I know.
Ryan.
I know. We just want to say this is episode 28 with Alexis Courtney. Is
Thank
franchising
you.
Small business is the question.
Is franchising
the topic
small
of
business?
Today.
We'll get into
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it is.
And we want to talk about that mission statement real quickly before we get into the B4G studio news. She wants to share this with everyone. Her mission statement is to show the world how to overcome their fears and succeed in their own business in order to create financial freedom for families.
Yep.
That is awesome.
Took me a long time to get there. A mission statement really has to resonate with you, and I feel that one.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Some people, they think, oh, we just have to have one. Let's hurry up and find some words that sound
right.
good and throw it in there and spit it out. And, hey, this is our mission statement.
Right.
But
it's got to be authentic. You have to really feel it, or you're not going to run your business that way. You're not going to present yourself that way. So I think it's important to sit down and take some time and figure out really what you want to do with your business and how you want to present yourself.
Absolutely.
So that's a little tease for later, folks.
Awesome.
Now we'll get to the B4G studio news, and first is brought to you by our sponsors. I'm going to go turn it over for Bobby for the first two, and then I'll go into the last one.
EFL360.com, entrepreneurs, founders, and leaders. If you are an entrepreneur or want to be an entrepreneur, have ever thought of owning your own business, but want some more tools and to connect with other like-minded folks that are excited about starting business, doing business, connecting, networking, all that cool stuff, come check us out at EFL360 Weekly. Go to EFL360.com and check out the meetings.
And they're live streamed.
And they're live streamed on Facebook.
Yep.
Absolutely. Also, speakupspeakers.com. Speak Up Speakers Professional Speaker Studio. If you believe you're a speaker, want to be a speaker, or not sure what your message is, come out to Speak Up so you can learn your message and connect with your audience. And if you are an entrepreneur or a business owner, you should be in front of people speaking about what you do. SpeakUpSpeakers.com.
All right, Bobby.
You did it.
And the last one is brought to you by Advocate Tees. Have you ever, the question comes up, people lost people to suicide, victim of bullying, kind of a big topic right now. By shopping at Advocate Tees, you're supporting good causes aimed at these topics, and you can join the movement that all lives matter. Mm-hmm. And Advocate Tees donates $1 per item purchased and supports artists and musicians as well. So you can go to advocatetees.com and use the promo code LOVE.
Love, L-O-V-E.
You got it.
It is L-O-V-E, not the weird love like the L-U-V.
No.
Okay, just flat out.
That's
L-O-V-E.
That's the hip love.
Which is the hip love? The real one? That's hip, right?
Yeah, that's hip. That's hip.
Okay.
All right, we want to apologize for the last episode. We had a little bit of debacle, but we are working through these things, so we appreciate your patience as we do these
It was
stuff.
Such an amazing episode. Cassie and Linda was so powerful and so awesome for them to get up at 6 in the morning to be in Australia and connect with us. It was super great. Unfortunately, we had some echo technology difficulty, but we still had to get it up there because it's so cool, and if you can handle listening to me 4 times at once...
Oh, shoot. After about a minute and a half, you turn it off.
Yeah. Right. We're getting that worked out.
Yep, we're getting there. And we want to announce that on September 7th, we're going to have in studio Robin Cage, who just finished a Kickstarter campaign. And she's going to get
her
album produced and go on tour. And we'll have our first musician.
Yay. First musician
in our studio.
That's
for
exciting.
Good. She's got some pretty cool. Her music is very inspiring and pretty powerful.
Make
stuff.
Her sing live.
Yeah. Ooh,
I think she's
yes.
ready. I think she's ready.
Absolutely.
Throw her under the
we
bus
got an
right now.
Sorry, Robin. Sorry about that, Robin.
It's all good. I think she's ready.
That's exactly what we're gonna do. Yep. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, she's
absolutely.
Ready. Maybe. Okay. Anyway. All right, and then we'll just skip that, and then we have the biz hack.
Biz hack. Now let's get down to business.
So fear is one of these up in one of these hacks.
Yeah.
So it's interesting on this biz hack, they're counterintuitive or counter, like we can talk about these because they're kind of different.
Oh,
they're kind of different.
Very good.
So the first one is write down your fears, not goals.
Yeah, I think that's important.
All right, let's
really?
Hear it. Let's do
oh,
it.
Absolutely. I think you need to know...
what you're afraid of.
Yeah.
So you can overcome it.
And also because a lot of times people run their business through fears. Let's just take reviews as an example. We've got a type of society that's consistently reviewing your business. If you are fearful of what people are going to say about you and you're not willing to...
You won't take chances that you normally would that may
exactly.
be the magic that gets you to the place.
Exactly. And you have to respond to people. If somebody's not happy with your product or your service, you need to respond to them and fix it and stand up for yourself. You're never going to... It's not a good idea to go ahead and sit there and make excuses, but it is important to validate their thought process and tell them how you're fixing it because other people see that. When you read a review yourself, it's all about how did that owner respond. If there was no response, then that person's going to continue to look for ways to be heard and seen. And
True.
So I think you really have to be honest and open about the fact that whether your name is on your business or not, you are the face of it. So what are your fears? What are the things that freak
face
you out?
Face those fears. Yeah, mm-hmm. I love it. I like it.
See?
Hey, it works.
It works.
Absolutely.
Thanks for your
insight. We have a professional here that can help us out with that stuff.
There you go.
Yeah, so they were a little different. Next one is be wrong.
And I take that to mean the same thing as fail a lot so you can know how to fix things. Right? Isn't that what that means when it says be wrong? It means don't be afraid to get out there and mess up, because when we mess up is when we learn how to do things better. At least that's the way I'm taking that be wrong thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what
you
it's
can
saying?
Go to entrepreneur.com magazine
and read it?
And I'll have the link up.
Okay, you'll have that on Facebook.
And you can go over these with you.
What do you think about be wrong?
Yeah, I definitely think that it's all in how you take when you're wrong. So I think we add on perfectionism to that. I think a lot of times entrepreneurs are trying to be perfect in everything. And so when the wrong happens, can you take accountability for it? Can you correct it? Can you learn from it? So instead of looking at, oh, I'm just going to be wrong all I can to hopefully learn, it's more how do you handle when you are wrong?
Oh, very good. Yes.
I think.
I like it.
Yeah.
You're hired.
That's very good. Yeah. People listen to this lady. She knows what she's talking about.
There you go.
Number three is delegate things you're good at. What the?
Okay. I'm having a little bit of a hard time with this one because I thought you focus on the stuff you're good at, then you delegate the stuff you're not good at. You hear that all the time. So can we read a little bit of this? Because I need some clarification.
Okay.
All right. You might feel you're only good at one or two key aspects of your business, but stop hiding from the task you don't enjoy. Yes, delegation is key, but to delegate effectively, you need to understand all aspects of your business.
Okay.
I see that.
I get that.
I can take a spin on this one, too, though.
Oh, well, let's hear it.
Okay.
Okay. Who cares what that says?
I know, right?
So about a year ago, I was feeling underwater, too much work, way too much, couldn't handle what I was doing. I joined something called Life Hack Bootcamp online and went through a process where they taught me how to write SOP, standard operating procedures, for myself. The whole point, I think people get too much involved of thinking, If I pass on, if I get hit by a bus, nobody could run my business. That is not the way you want to look at it. Build your business so you can go to Hawaii for 6 months. Yes. You can get hit by a bus. can do what you want. And so I spent the last year building my business, writing SOP, standard operating procedures, have it in a file on my computer desk. Anybody can step into my position and run my company.
So true. I had to learn that the hard way, too. Thinking that nobody could do it as good as I could.
Right.
Nobody cares like I do. And it was killing me.
Oh, it kills
It was
you.
Literally killing me. And the second I realized, oh, there are people that can do good work.
Right.
That can actually do things better than me.
Yes.
And once I learned that little tool, man, a much freer, much funner place to work in and live in. So, yeah.
Well, and then you can turn those standard operating procedures over to somebody and delegate it. It's exactly how you want it to be done. They're grateful to have something to follow, and it's off your plate.
Oh, I love it. Wow. We have the right person today, right?
Yep.
She is on it.
Awesome.
Okay, what's
next? All right, number four is be strategically lazy and find your multiplier.
I got the first part that I can do that sometimes. My wife will attest. That
maybe
I can
it's one
be lazy.
Of those things where people say your greatest ideas happen in the shower type deal.
Oh, it's so true.
Yeah, so it's when you're relaxed and calm and not stressed out. Maybe
I like that.
That's kind of what that means. When you're lazy and not consistently thinking about your company, your best
that's
ideas
when I take
come.
Notes on the shower door.
Yeah.
I do that.
You should invent something.
That would be a cool waterproof.
A whiteboard.
Oh,
yeah, there
gosh.
You go. Done.
But then it would. Then the ideas wouldn't come in the shower anymore because it's too practical.
You already had the idea. It was the whiteboard.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome though. I think that's right on. I don't know what is that saying.
Just basically, if it's been done before, kind of learn from or piggyback on other opportunities, ideas, trends. I don't know.
Find ways to be lazy by piggybacking on other opportunities.
I think we just took their article and made it better.
Yeah. I think she's right.
Yeah, we did.
That's exactly what happened.
Yep, we did.
Alexis, kicked very good. I got it right.
You did. Nice job.
Okay, this one is going to just rock your sock.
Oh, man.
Time is not money.
Nope.
What?
What the?
What? Hey, wait a minute. Nope. I've been doing this business thing, entrepreneurs. I have over 20 startups, and time is always money. So I got to hear what she was adamant. So let's, I don't even know if we want to read this crap, because she's on it.
Well, just think how much time you waste. I mean, what is actually productive time. So once again, I'm looking at it a little bit differently in the sense of when we say time is not money, don't think that your 9-hour workday is consistently bringing you income. Nice. Take a look at the aspects of your work that are bringing the money in and then delete the things in your day that aren't.
So productive time is money.
Yeah, exactly.
But time itself, we waste it all the time. All we waste it constantly.
Yeah. Learn how to say no. Stop doing the things that aren't improving your business. And of course, I mean, you've got to have balance in your life. We all want to be able to spend time with our family and all of that kind of stuff. But in your productive work hours, make sure that that productivity is bringing you money.
And sometimes that even means letting go of clients
that
take too much of your time. That's it amazes me so much that so many of the clients that take the most time pay you the least amount and want more than any other client does. And there's nothing more freeing than saying, you know what, this partnership isn't working.
Right.
And you need to go find somebody else to take care of you. That right there is worth lots and lots of money.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Thank you for putting that in that perspective.
Boom, baby.
Awesome. That was a
Yay, clap.
That was a great business.
That's that's our live audience that we're
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. The segment here is the good news.
Oh, what do we got for good news today?
The good news is a homeless man.
That just sounds not well. You're the counterintuitive today,
I
Ryan.
Know, I'm very awkward today, I guess. Backwards. We remember those that suffered the Manchester attack some time ago. I don't know the exact time when that happened, but during that whole chaos over in Manchester, you know, the stadium that bombed? There was a homeless man that rushed to help and cradles a dying woman in his arms. So this is just kind of an amazing story of this guy that rushed in, right? He got
right after the bomb
he went in and he helped two people. The first one was a little girl, and then he helped and saw a little girl. She had no legs. I wrapped her in one of the merchandise t-shirts and I said, "Where is your mom and daddy?" She said, "My dad is at work, mom is up there." And he said he thought the child's mother had died from her injuries. Mr. Parker, who was intending to ask concert goers for money as they headed home, also went to help a woman who had serious leg and head injuries. He said she passed away in my arms. She was in her 60s and said she had been with her family.
Oh.
There was actually a fundraiser that was helped to get this guy off the streets.
Oh, wow.
So you can read that on our Facebook.
Awesome.
There you go.
Wow, it's cool and sad.
Yeah, but I mean,
but it sometimes we think of homeless folks as just thinking about what they're gonna do next, and if they can beg money and stuff, but they're human beings that are also heroes.
So I just thought that was his honor, or like being good in a tragic moment. I think brings out a lot of people's courage and things like that.
Yeah, just humanity.
Yeah, sometimes I think it's humanity is still good, even though there's a lot of bad stuff that goes on, and we talk about this all the time. But man, there's more good in the world. We just don't hear about it on the news because it's the news, and it just doesn't.
And that's why we bring you the Biz for Good,
good show.
Show,
yeah, that's right, absolutely.
And the good news segment.
Yeah,
we did a long time ago the Google Challenge.
Yes,
we're not doing one today, but I really want to get some feedback.
Oh,
come on, listeners.
Unless you want to do one.
Oh.
On spot.
I loved the Google Challenge. I thought the Google. So, this is. Let's ask.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's on point today.
All right.
Alexis.
Yes.
I'm just showing you I still know your name.
Okay, good.
So, the way the Google Challenge works is we come up with a question.
Okay.
To ask Google, right?
Okay.
And then when we ask the question, we look at the third page. And go to the first of the third page to find out the answer.
And see what happens.
It's
a Russian roulette of Google.
Yes. If we had a really good question today, it might be good.
Yeah.
Right. But I think it's something that you kind of have to think through. I mean, it's got to be a good question. You
exactly.
You can't just throw something out there.
Yeah. So,
but
we want to know from the listeners if we weren't sure if it was relevant. We think it's relevant. But you know, it's a little hit and miss. You never know what you're gonna get with it, which is kind of fun.
You can give us topic stuff.
Yeah, and so maybe the listeners could give us some feedback.
Yeah,
be awesome. Okay, thanks for thinking about that because I love Google Challenge.
Yeah,
cool.
And if you want to take this on, Eight Wisdoms. What inspired you to write the book?
Ooh. Oh, man. You love putting me on the spot on that. You know, I had just finished reading Og Mandino's The Greatest Salesman in the World, which I think is one of the most spiritual books in the world with a crappy title. have you ever read Greatest Salesman in the World?
I haven't read that one. I've read a lot of books, but not that. I'll put it on my list.
It is amazing. It's about the Ten Scrolls and these the scrolls. It's a fable, mm-hmm. but it's a very powerful book with some very spiritual messages in it and about how to sell. It's kind of weird. But I just
and got they finished. Throw in some selling.
Yeah, well, you have to have read the book to understand okay. My head, I'm going, yeah, I'm not sure how to explain it, because it literally is one of the most spiritual books right. I've ever read, yet it's about how to be a salesman. But it's really not, but it is. Anyway, okay. Read the book now that I got there you people. Go. So anyway, I had came off of reading that, was really moved by it, and I had started changing my life. I'd become a full-time entrepreneur that no longer had a corporate job, and my just world started being so awesome and great, and I had these eight principles that had changed my life that I'd started living by, mm-hmm. and I just had this powerful, I call it a divine connection that said, Bobby, write this book about these principles. And you know, those of you that know me, I'm dyslexic. I can spell cat and thee, and that's about it. And I said, write a book. That's crazy.
Right.
I don't. My grammar. Well, I don't have grammar. I'm still working on my first language. But I wrote it. It's been edited about 5 times, and I'm humbled that the book exists, because it to me is such a powerful, powerful thing.
Awesome.
Those principles.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. So, Alexis.
Sure.
We have the quote of the day. You want to read that for us?
Sure. One of the hardest decisions you'll ever face in life is choosing whether to walk away or try harder.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
What do you think about it? Wait. We can't just...
Okay.
We got to talk about that.
Let's talk
dude.
About it. Some people
hardest
don't like
decisions.
You want to read it again?
So, you know, in business...
Yeah. You have to know when to call uncle. You know, you just
you
don't...
You do.
Yeah.
People, my wife used to tell me, Bobby, you start and stop stuff all the time. And I'm like, well, I stop it when I realize, hey, this isn't going where I need it to or want it to. Look at the few that haven't stopped that have been successful.
Right, right, exactly.
You do have to know when
right.
you're, and there's a caveat there, because you look at Elon Musk, should have stopped a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Everybody was laughing at him about making these electric cars. He put every bit of his money into it. Mm-hmm. Most people were calling him a lunatic, a goofball, and now they're calling him a genius.
Right.
So there is a fine line there.
Right.
Between, but is it right? Is it pure genius? Or is it a but not
you
a
know
valid
what?
Idea?
He had it in him to know that that's what he needed to do, and so he tried harder. Yeah. You know? I mean, and that's a whole point. You have to know within yourself, because... if you're not going to try harder, then it's time to walk away.
Exactly. If you don't believe it enough. And I think right. that's the point.
Right.
That is the point. That,
right.
That Elon believed in what he was doing.
Yep.
Period. Flat out believed, I'm going to mm-hmm. make this happen. I want to make this world a better place. Period.
Right. Right.
And that's it. If, mm-hmm. if you get to the point where, yeah, this is more work than I want to do for this vision, then you know it's not the right vision.
Right.
Awesome. Man, she's so tired. Intuitive.
You know what?
Connected.
This is huge validation for me, the two of you. You're just bringing me all sorts of happiness. I feel great about myself. I might just stop by all the time, yeah, too.
You're welcome anytime.
Guest host right there.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Anytime.
Yeah.
All right. And then we're going to. There's the end of the segment.
Okay. That's the end of the segment, so, ladies and gentlemen.
There we go.
Wait, do that again.
Okay. So
that's the music.
That's,
huh?
That's the end of the segments. Or maybe this one. Nope, not
do
that
the charge one.
One.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay.
Charge! We're off to the interview.
All right, turn it over to you, Bob.
Awesome, awesome. Let's see what the questions are. So here we're going to ask Alexis some questions.
Sure.
You're up for that?
I'm up for
okay.
it.
Okay. The very big first question okay. usually we ask is, tell us about you.
Okay.
Tell us about Alexis.
All
what's
right.
going on?
Sounds good. Well, I grew up in Salt Lake City, Utah, born and raised here. I actually went to East High School, and I was a swimmer and a water polo player.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Water polo.
Yes. At that point in time, water polo was not an NCAA sport, so I got a scholarship to swim, which really meant play water polo. So I did two sports in college at a little tiny university, actually it was, called Slippery Rock University in Pennsylvania, about an hour south.
Slippery Rock?
Slippery Rock.
Rock, Pennsylvania University.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
That's got in cool. my little golf bug, drove across country with my mom. She dropped me off. It was a city of 7,000 people. There was one little hotel room with carpet on the wall. My mom was hysterical when I put her on the plane. Well, I'm so sorry I did this to you. Stayed there all 4 years. We won the national championship my freshman year. Still only the what is considered the Eastern, you know, an Eastern team to ever win it. So that was great. A lot of fun. Met my husband in college. Became a high school math teacher. Came back to Utah. Taught at Ecker Hill Middle School. My husband's job took us to Michigan, Detroit. Lived in Royal Oak.
Detroit, Michigan.
Yeah.
Oh, fun city.
Worked in the...
What's left of it. It's a fun city, unfortunately.
I know.
It's rebuilding.
It's probably the poorest of the poor and the richest of the rich. I've never experienced such a huge gap.
Yeah.
In all aspects. So, but it was a good experience. And I taught school there, high school math. Came back, taught at Roland Hall. And was pregnant with my second child, was realizing that the money that I was making was just going to pretty much go over to somebody else raising my kids. And my husband and I started talking about small business. So that's kind of my story and
where I come from.
Yeah. I think,
awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we always like to ask, what does Biz for Good mean to you with your business now and what you're doing? Why is it a Biz for Good?
And the name of your business.
Exactly. All that good stuff. Yeah, so once I started looking at businesses with my husband, I think we all think that we can create our own idea. And I have to laugh at myself back when we were looking at stuff. Scrapbooking was huge. And so I thought, I'm going to get into scrapbooking. I hate scrapbooking. Like,
We can make money. Everybody's right? I can make money. I hate this, but I can make money doing it.
Right, exactly. I don't even have a scrapbook that I've ever even done or completed in my home. But I thought, this is the train I'm going to ride. Thank goodness I did not. Then we looked at possibly buying a business, but I walked into a store called Cookie Cutters Haircuts for Kids in Draper, Utah. It was already owned, up and operating. Loved it. Thought it was great. Called my husband, said, we got to do this. I don't know too many men with an MBA that think kids' hair care is going to be their end goal. So he was pretty much like, nope, that's not happening. But I was persistent. He did the work and researched it. And interestingly enough, the owner just given birth to triplets and had a daughter. She just said, would you possibly buy our store? So we did. We bought her store. It's doing great. By the end of the year, we opened another one up in Salt Lake City and another one up in South Jordan. So by the end of year one, here we are running business. We're entrepreneurs. And so what it means to me, business that's good, the reason why I connected with that business, it was very much along the lines of what I was doing as a teacher, community-based, a need business. A lot of people don't realize there's a lot of kids that are afraid of getting haircuts. There's a lot of kids with special needs that are terrified of it or that actually can be refused service because when they go into some of these salons, the stylist is nervous that they're going to get hurt. And that's a valid fear. And so they'll say to the parent, we can't do this haircut. Well, they can come to Cookie.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've never thought of that.
Yeah.
I've never thought that.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
Wow, that is amazing.
So it's that feel good of, you know, being able to do things for the community, help out all different types of kids and different needs of kids. And then also I have a huge place in my heart for the people that work for me. You know, I want to help make their lives better. And we grew this brand where we owned 5 stores and we sold 4 of those stores in the last few years to our managers. And what a great opportunity for them.
That is so cool.
Worked their way up and then decided to become business owners. And it's been great. I just love that.
You know what's so cool about that is we talk about niches all the time. Mm-hmm. And you could just say, I'm a hair cutter.
Right.
I should start a hair salon. And I cut people's hair.
Right.
But you took it to a focus and a need and a place where you could do good.
Right.
and created something around it. That is so powerful. People, that is such a big piece of your business, is finding the real place where you can do the best.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Absolutely.
That is so cool.
Thanks.
Awesome. So the title of this show today is Franchising Small Business.
Yeah, and that just rolls right into it, because Cookie Cutters is a franchise, but it's small business to me. Here I am, an owner. I've got the support. I've got the
process. So you started the franchise?
Well, it was started, the Draper one. So we bought that one, and then we opened two more, and then we opened two more a few years later. In fact, two of our stores we opened October of 2008, and that was terrifying. But both are still open. And
wow.
Yeah.
You made it through 2008.
We made it through 2008.
Oh, she says that with a breath. It sounds like that was probably some tough times.
It is. It was some tough times. What we found, though, is that parents don't want their kids to know that they're struggling. And so they'll cut back on their own amenities instead of their children. And they'll just elongate the haircut. So instead of going in every 4 weeks, they'll go in every 12. So we were able to survive. But it was definitely tough. But the biggest thing that I learned, my husband wanted to wrap our car with cookie cutters, and I was terrified. I'm like, what if somebody accosts me at the supermarket that they got a bad haircut or they didn't have a good experience? I didn't want to be the face of the business. And that's what we're talking about here. Even though you've got a brand name, you've got systems, you've got procedures, you've got a home office that's supporting you, you are the face of your business. You are a small business.
Whether you like it or not.
Whether you like it or not.
Your brand,
you are your brand.
Whether you like it or not.
Yeah. And you know, everything is really rotating towards the franchise industry because people like processes and procedures. There's so many
reasons they stay in business.
Yeah. There's so many entrepreneurs that start their own thing, and it's very hard on their family, on their relationships, make a lot of mistakes, 80 hours a week. Many times, too, by the time they're done, they've spent $100,000 in the first year. There's multiple franchises
that haven't really made any money.
And haven't made any money. Multiple franchises that are buying around $100,000.
Yeah.
So definitely franchising a small business. You can take that brand name, have that support, make it your own. And really be a part of your community, but you have to be willing to be a part of your community. Don't hide behind the brand name.
And you have to find the right culture of that franchise that fits you.
Yes.
Because you said you love your employees.
Yeah.
And that branched out, and that's why the managers became owners, because of that connection with the culture, right?
Exactly.
In a franchise, you can't just go out and say, which one's going to make me the most money?
Mm-mm.
For the different person will make different amounts of money because they'll connect with the culture.
Right.
I think so many people don't understand.
It goes down to the why, right?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because they could be there.
I mean, there's a reason Simon Sinek is so popular.
Haircuts, but I don't really like hair cutting.
Right.
I really wouldn't want to be a franchise owner.
Yeah. Right? Well, and that's what rolled into after 10 years of...
He's all talking away from the mic. That's not like Ryan.
Okay, get on that mic.
Oh, crazy. I'm not a beatboxer.
We're not doing that today. No,
no,
that's not happening. We are not being the first musical guest on this show.
Very good. So
no,
awesome.
No problem. Sorry.
It is a small business.
It is a small business. It
and
is.
You can enjoy it. And truthfully, you have a whole lot better, especially if you don't know what you're doing, chance of succeeding using a franchise, because the reason it's a franchise is because it has the policies, procedures, and the processes put in place to be successful.
Right, exactly. And you know, that rolled into something that I'm doing now. I help entrepreneurs in Utah take a look at franchises that would fit them. I work with a company called FranNet. It's been around for 30 years. They approached me a few years ago, and they didn't have somebody in Utah to rep them. And so I looked into it and realized that they're very much a educational company that's really doing their best to match people with the right fit for them. There's so many people that get emotionally connected to a business idea, and they don't realize the hardships that it's going to bring. Or even you can go the opposite direction, or the joy and satisfaction it's going to bring. So you really have to take a look at it. We have a proprietary franchise assessment. that people can take, and it gives them back 11 pages of information on what type of franchises will match them.
Don't you have a website or something?
We
that
do,
can go
yeah.
to do that?
Mm-hmm. It's www.frannet.com, and there's actually franchise representatives in every state, and sometimes even multiple Frannet representatives within the states.
Awesome. So they just go there, and yep. it'll have a fill out your assessment
yep.
type of thing.
Yep.
You just go right to the front of the page.
Just put in your zip code, because it's going to send you to the Frannet consultant that's closest to you.
Which would be me you.
If mm-hmm. you're, you know, if we're here in Utah. Mm-hmm.
And then, but they're all over the country?
Yes, they're all over the country.
Because
yeah.
we do have listeners everywhere except New Mexico, right?
Yeah, we got to get New Mexico. I'm on a campaign,
what?
People. New Mexico.
I got people in New Mexico.
What's that?
I got people.
You got peeps?
Yeah.
All
I'll
right.
work on that for you.
Yeah, you do. You get a big bonus.
Right.
You come
right.
on the show again.
Yeah.
Another yeah, bottle
another
of water.
Yep.
Yeah.
Another water. We're high
budget. I
need
to stay
here.
Hydrated.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We care about our guests.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, cool. How about that last question?
Sure.
Ask about fear.
Yeah. Give us your take on fear.
Well, I'll tell you what. When I was trying to decide if we should buy our own franchise, I mean, I'd pretty much come up with the idea and I'd presented it to my husband, and thank goodness he was on board, but I felt a lot of pressure in order for it to work. And one day I'd think we're going to be rich, and the next day I'd think I'm going to bankrupt my family. And it's just, you will constantly have fear creep in, but what you have to do is I believed in myself. You know, I knew I could do it. I knew that once I would become an owner, that it was something that was right for me, and that regardless of the hard days, because you know what, franchising is not without work. You still got to work. You still have to be the face of the business, the owner. You've got to do a lot of hard work to make it fly. And so you have to get over that fear every single day. And there will be areas where you feel uncomfortable, and you have to push through those and have support. And I love that you, you know, there's a lot of great networking groups out there in Utah. You need also to be a part of a great networking yep. group. Talk to other people that have been through it, just
your
because
tribes.
Yeah,
real
you
ones.
You need
I mean,
a tribe.
And they're not all the same.
Yeah.
Not all networking groups are
no.
created equal.
Correct. Correct.
Some are these piranha places where
yes,
people are
where they're trying to sell to
here,
you.
Here, here,
yeah,
here.
Exactly.
You want a place that's safe, that
yeah.
that you can connect and with ideas, and someone mm-hmm. that can actually assist you. I mean, I love it when I go to a networking meeting that's worth going to, where mm-hmm. where the person's just interested. Hey, I want you to just know who you are. I want to know who I am, and we'll, you know, if we are connected and we do business, it's
yeah.
awesome. And that's
yeah.
a great way to do business.
It's a great way to do business. Just tell them who you are. And yeah. when they need you, they'll contact you.
Absolutely.
Get to know them.
Absolutely. Why are you pointing at that, Ryan?
He wants you to ask me that question.
Oh, why don't you just ask the question, Ryan?
I'll ask.
How about I ask myself the question? Yeah.
You can ask it.
No, you ask it.
You can ask and answer it.
There you go. That doesn't seem weird at all.
So,
if someone is considering being a franchise owner, any tips or real quick advice to get started?
Yeah. You definitely have to do a ton of research, and all of that research cannot be done on the internet.
Wow, that is good advice.
Ooh.
Yeah,
a
lot of people think they can get all their research done about that franchise on the internet, and they just can't. It's really important to have a franchise consultant in order to connect you with the right people, because once you have a franchise consultant, we'll take you through the steps, and we'll also introduce you to the franchise developer, who will take you through weeks of calls with the people that you need to talk to. All franchises have an FDD, a franchise disclosure document. In order to be legal, they have to have that. You're going to need that right out of the gate. So if you are looking at a franchise and they don't hand over an FDD, turn around and walk away. They're not legal to sell to you.
Wow.
And you are not protected.
Super good info
yeah.
right now.
Yep. So the great thing about a franchise consultant is that we're really here for both sides. The franchisor really appreciates us because we're able to educate.
Qualify.
And
too.
Qualify, absolutely,
yeah.
that client and take them through the process. So by the time that they've made a decision, the franchisor feels that they have a really good, solid owner. Yeah. And on the other side, then that client feels that they really know what they're getting into and they're prepared and they're ready. And the great thing is it's of no cost to the client, because the way that we work is that we match. And so that franchisor will go ahead and we're kind of considered a headhunter.
It's a headhunter. Yeah. Yeah. You're a headhunter for a franchisor.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. That's how it works.
I love it, which is great.
Yeah.
It's perfect because they get qualified folks and they don't have to wade through the junk.
Correct.
Of people that are just playing around or the
we call it kicking tires.
Yeah, there you go. Kicking tires. That's exactly what I was looking for. That's perfect. Kicking tires.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for. Go ahead.
Is there any cookie? What's it called?
Cookie Cutters Haircuts for Kids.
Yeah, you say that like a lot better.
It's a tongue twister.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there any outside of Utah?
Yeah, there's a lot. So interestingly enough, the founder 2 years ago wanted to retire. So my husband and I bought the whole franchise. And so I have a lot of information and a lot of expertise, not only as a franchisee, but a franchisor.
Which is powerful.
Yeah. And when we bought it 2 years ago, there were 28 stores. Now we have 205 contracts.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep. We have 48 stores open and run. We opened 4 stores this week.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Wow, really exciting.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So they're really popping up all over the place.
I think so.
We've added into California and Oregon and Idaho and Arizona and then a ton on the East Coast. We've got Alabama and Atlanta and Maryland and Pennsylvania and
New Mexico.
Not yet. Looking for New Mexico.
Oh, we all need to get into New Mexico.
There you go.
I lived there for a little bit too. Anyway, sorry. Yeah. So, for our listeners outside of New Mexico,
it's okay. We don't even have them there. So,
how can they get in touch with? Do they get in touch with you?
Sure. And just to be really clear, so the franchise that I own and that I'm a franchisor, you know, we're sold out in Utah. So some people might take a look at that and see, okay, you're a franchise owner and you're a franchisor. And you're a consultant. If I call you, are you going to consult me to buy a cookie cutters?
Mm.
No, that's not the case. We're sold out in Utah, so there isn't any more territory. And within franchising, there's specific territory. So if you were to contact me about different franchise opportunities in Utah, they would not be cookie cutters. They would be other ones. Okay. And so,
but maybe cookie cutter in New Mexico.
Maybe.
It might be open for
maybe.
That.
And anybody can get in touch with me by email or phone, and I'm happy even just to put it out there. Yeah. So my email is A... And then Courtney, CourtNey, at Frannet, which has 2 N's, FRANNET.com. Or they can call me at 801-232-5697.
Cool. And then if you want to get your kids a haircut, do they schedule it ahead? Or?
Yeah. So the website at Cookie Cutters is haircutsarefun.com.
And that's, I love it.
Yep. That's spelled out.
Haircutsarefun.com.
Yep. That's spelled out. You can book online if you'd like to. So you pop up there, you put in your zip code, and it's going to go ahead and populate what the closest location is to you. Wow. Back to school is a very busy time. So
she's doing this right.
Get in there quick.
This lady knows what she's doing. Got the right people. You should probably listen to this lady a little bit. Awesome. Well, thank you so
much.
Could
you tell
my
kids that?
Oh, well, unfortunately, I know how that is. That's a lost battle there.
Yeah,
how old?
Well, one is 13 going on 14, and it has been a rough summer. Yeah.
My 16-year-old, he's a crazy person. My 20-year-old was an angel. She's an amazing person, woman.
Yeah.
She's just the most coolest person on earth.
But right.
My 16-year-old, he's my payback.
Oh, there you go.
I just inherited a new kitty.
Inherited?
They're a little easier to deal with.
What?
Well,
did somebody die?
Someone just left it on the doorstep.
Aw.
And you had just lost your kitty,
and we
you?
Just lost our cat, so.
Aw.
You know, yin and the young.
Yep.
Or the young and the restless.
Something. Yeah. Well, awesome. Thank you so much
You're
for being
welcome.
On this show, Alexis.
Alexis.
You got it.
Thank you so much.
Thank
You're
you.
So welcome.
This is so awesome.
Thanks.
Awesome, folks. Thanks for tuning in.
Hashtag
be good, do good.
Hashtag
be good, do good. Hashtag
be good, do good.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening to the Biz for Good show series with Bobby Glenn James and Ryan Pilkington. We want to thank our guests and all our fans of the show. Again, you can find us online at bizforgoodshow.com and on all our social platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. Have a great day, and remember, be good, do good.